So once again, welcome to a Sunday night Bible study as we go through the book of Hebrews. Today, our subject is Hebrews chapter 12. But before we get there, I want to take you back to chapter 10, and I'm going to take you to verse 37. We're going to read verse 37 to the end, just to give you a little bit of a context, once again, and to just to show you where we are in the book of Hebrews. So over there in chapter 10, verse 37, it says, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." And so this chapter 10, as we were looking at it up to the 18th verse, the writer of the Hebrew was showing those predominantly a Jewish audience that why they need to come all the way to Jesus, why Jesus is the better higher priest, why he brings a better covenant, why he is a better sacrifice, and so forth. And then as we got into verse 19 to verse about 25, he encouraged those who believed, who actually trusted him, accepted him as a Lord and Savior. And then from the second audience that he started speaking to, starting with verse 26 and what we just ended with, is if you don't come and if you don't believe, what your consequences, what the consequences are. And then he talks to them about just shall live by faith. And so as we ended that chapter, the author thought that he needed to give a little bit more explanation, a little bit more detail about what a faith looks like. A Jewish person doesn't really know what faith is. They are used to and they are accustomed to rituals, ceremonies, the temple worship, and so on. For the last four or five Bible studies, we have been looking at chapter 11. Exactly what we learned in that chapter. So now he picks up where he left off in chapter 10, and he says, "Therefore." And you know what I always say, when you see the word "therefore" in the scripture, you want to know why it is therefore. He is speaking back to those people that, look, you need to come all the way into the belief of Jesus Christ, accepting him as a Lord and Savior. And so he says, "Therefore, also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And so what we are going to look at here in this chapter is three things. The first thing we are going to see is an illustration. When you are trying to teach someone, the easiest way to do it, right, there are a few techniques that we use. You know, one of the things that we do with our kids is, we try to encourage them by showing them an example of somebody else, perhaps their sibling. "Hey, look, if your brother can do it, so can you." Okay?
Another thing that we do, okay, and even in a classroom and so forth, if a particular child is having a hard time, we kind of use someone else who's able to do it. Hey, look, if he can do it, you can do it. The other thing we do is we try to show them a benefit the benefit of doing whatever that is being asked of the person to do. And that's what we have here in this chapter. What we are going to have is an illustration of what faith accomplishes. But before we get to that, okay, and it's, obviously we are not going to finish this chapter in 1 week. There's certain things that I want to lay down, and I want you to understand. It's an important verse that we just read, okay? It says, let us lay aside every weight. Now, that phrase, let us, we have seen that number of times, and I'm going to show you a couple of examples that we have seen in the book of Hebrews. So if you look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, and you don't have to turn there, I'm going to read it for you. It says, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. In that same chapter, verse 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. A couple of verses down, verse 16 in that same chapter, it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Chapter 6, verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principle of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. In chapter 10, verse 22, verse 23, and verse 24, all of them start with let us. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in a full assurance of faith. Verse 23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And then it says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And so what we have here is, every time we have seen this phrase in the book of Hebrews, it comes in the heel of a great teaching on faith. Okay, every time we have seen this phrase, right after that we have the principles of Christ, the doctrine that we need, okay? It teaches us why we should trust Jesus. And that is not any different here when we come to this part. This phrase, it is speaking to those Jewish people at that time, okay, who were not sure. They were unsure of if they wanted to really accept Christ. They understood it intellectually. They understood the concept, but they had not yet committed to Jesus Christ. And that's why it's almost a warning. Let us, each of those let us, right, that it always follows, is always followed by a doctrine teaching. It's always teaching us the importance of a commitment to Christ. It's always a warning. And it is no different here. When it says, let us lay aside every weight, it is still speaking to an audience that is not fully convinced that they need to give their life to Jesus. They're not fully convinced yet. And that's why it says, let us lay aside every weight. Now, there is also a message in there for a Christian, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, okay? I want to go take you back to the word. It says cloud of witnesses. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand this, okay? It is not, when it's talking about a race, don't think of it as that we are running a race and there are a stadium full of spectators who are looking on and cheering us on. They're looking down on us and they are cheering us on. That's not the meaning of this this word, a cloud of witnesses. Okay, this cloud of witnesses are the ones that we just learned about in chapter 11, and their life is a witness to us that look how they lived in faith and how they were rewarded, how God was faithful, how God carried them through their life because they decided to trust in one true God. And those are the cloud of witnesses. And because, so it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great the cloud of witnesses, since we have an example of all of these people that we just learned about, let's trust and let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so message that I want to really get through, and I want to focus on this word weight, okay? And what happens many times when we look at this kind of a verse and we look at this kind of a concept, we think that this is something bad. You know, the weight doesn't necessarily have to be something bad. It could be something good. But if you are going to run a race, and you know, if you have ever watched it run a race, or if you have run a race, you ran in a race somewhere, or you were training for a marathon or some kind of a race. You know, a lot of times those athletes, they run with a little bit of weight on their ankles, sometimes on their back. But on the day of the race, they are wearing the lightest clothing possible. They don't have any, they are barely a shirt on, a short. That there is nothing on their body, because they do not want any extra weight on their body while they are running this running the race. If they are going to be at their optimum speed, they need to be their lightest. And that is what is being said over here. It says, let us lay aside every weight. Now, for a Jewish person, what was the weight that they were carrying? They were carrying the weight of legalism. They were carrying the weight of all the temple worship, all the ceremonies, all the rituals. And what the author is saying to them is, you need to let that stuff go and come all the way to Jesus. If you're going to run this race, you're going to have to put all of that stuff away. You're going to have to put all of that stuff away and run the race. And that's a message also for a Christian. If you are a believer, we need to understand this. And you know what? Just focus on me for a minute. I want to really speak to you guys. A lot of you are serious about your faith. You are Christian in a true sense. But this is something that we need to learn. Okay, we need to learn that let us lay aside every weight. You know, what is that weight? Sometimes that weight for us as a Christian is, you know, past failure. We can stop feeling guilty. You know, and then we have this standard, imaginary standard that we have set for us, and somehow we are trying to achieve that goal on our own. You know, we are trying to earn the favor of God on our own. Although it says that it's only by faith. We are not able to let go of our churchian mentality. And we need to lay aside every weight. And why? And you know why sometimes we don't let go of those weights? Because we forget that we are in a race. Once you accept Christ and make him your Lord and Savior, you are in a race. What is a race for a Christian? It is the Christian life, the life of sanctification. You can't get into the race. You know, too many times we have this attitude. I accepted Christ. I'm going to be in heaven. And until I get there, you know what? I'm going to do whatever. I'm just going to stand there. You don't win a race by standing. Right? If you're going to run a marathon or if you're going to have a track meet, you got to run. There is no choice. And so it is true for a Christian life. We have to run the race. Why? Because it says, so cloud of witnesses. Right? Cloud of witnesses. These witnesses have shown us why it is important to run the race. I'm going to give you just one verse today. If we go to Romans chapter, Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. I want you to understand that word patience. That word patience is the same word that we are looking at here in verse 1. Endurance is the same word. Okay? That's the same Greek word. Endurance and patience. And then, oh, by the way, when we talk about patience, patience does not mean that I'm just going to sit there and say, I'm just going to wait and be inactive. That's not what patience means in a biblical sense. Patience is it's a working patience. Just think of the race between a turtle and a rabbit, right? Turtle was patient. He continued in his path at his speed. He understood the goal. And in patience, he won the race. And that's what it means when we look at patience or endurance, as it says here in verse 1, that you are patient with your goal. There are still things that need to be worked out in Christ. There are still things that you are waiting for. There are still promises that you are waiting for. But you need to have patience with God. That doesn't mean you are not doing anything. It's not that you're just sitting waiting for everything to, you know, for you to win a lotto, so to speak. Right? You are patiently working, waiting for God to work things out. So it says, we through the patience and comfort. Now, when we look at the word comfort in that Romans chapter 15, verse 4, or anywhere in the Bible, sometimes we have a misunderstanding of that word comfort. Many times we think of comfort is, you know, I have a nice comfortable mattress, or I have a nice comfortable chair where I'm going to sit down, I'm going to be comfortable, I'm going to relax. And that's the image that we have in our mind. The word comfort does not mean that in the Bible. The word comfort, and if you look at the root word, it all literally means strengthening or encouraging. And so what the Romans chapter 15 verse 4 is saying is that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So how do you find comfort and patience in the cloud of witnesses that we are talking about? If you are someone who's waiting on a promise that is unfulfilled, you look at the life of Abraham, right? You look at the life of Abraham and says, hey, that teaches me to wait for God until he fulfills his promise. What if you have if you are a part of a family? Right, there is quarrels. The siblings are not getting along. What if you are a part of a family where the siblings are not saved? Right, they even might be just hard on you. Then you look at the life of Joseph, and you say you learn something from that. You learn the patience and the comfort, the strengthening from there. What if you are given a responsibility where you think that responsibility is too big for you? Then you look at the life of Moses, as we have been looking at in the chapter 18. And I can give you other examples of David and others that we have looked at. But in interest of time, I'm not going to do that. But those cloud of witnesses helps us, when we look at their life, to lay aside every weight, whatever that is, and trust God to fulfill the promise that he has given us. You know, it reminds me of something that I heard. There is the species of monkeys in Africa, and they are very, very fast. They are fast, and they can cause some serious destruction, right? So when they come upon a village, they will just go on a rampage. And there were a lot of people there who were trying to protect their, protect their harvest and so forth. And they were trying to figure these things out, that how to catch these monkeys or stop them from, causing all the damages that they were causing. And none of them could figure out. They tried to catch them various ways. They had a lot of traps they set up and all those things, and nothing would work. And then one day, there were some tribesmen who came through, and they were looking at this, and they're like, "This is easy. We can." And then the people were astonished. They were like, "What do you mean this is easy?" All they did is they took a coconut, they put food inside the coconut, and just cut a big enough hole for the monkey's hand to go in. And what would happen is they would go in to get the food, but then there was not enough room for the hand to come out, and they were able to catch the monkeys. All they had to do, all the monkey had to do to be freed, is to let go of the food, and they would have been free. And this is so many of us Christians who are not able to let go. You know, we want to go to heaven, but we don't want to let go of the world. We want to live a Christian life, but we don't want to let go of our old life. You know, and I find it very fascinating, especially for us Christians, and especially when we look at this cloud of witnesses. Nowadays, if you read something on an internet, if you get a little TikTok video or an Instagram, some lady you have never heard of or some guy who has never heard of will give you a tip on your diet, and you'll start doing it without knowing any qualification that he has. If it has ever worked, you will start doing everything that you hear on TikTok. You know, I'll confess, you know, I am an experiment for my wife, because every video she gets, I get that I have to do that stuff. You know, maybe some of you guys can relate, you know. So we trust that. But when it comes to the Word of God, which is proven for thousands of years, we see how it has worked, how it is true. We question every little thing. Every dot and every period and every comma has to be scrutinized before we put trust in it. And what I'm telling you is some of us are still not completely free of our past, or because we are not letting go. And therefore, we are not living the victorious life. We are not winning the race. We are not winning the race. And in order for us to win the race, we need to lay aside every weight. And then it says, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now, what sin are we talking about here? It could be any sin. You can name anything you want. But if you read the verse in the context, here we are talking about faith. What is the sin that gets us away from faith? A sin of unbelief. It's the sin of unbelief. And as I said, you know, we will believe every little thing that we read or see on a TikTok or an Instagram, but we have a problem with the Word of God, because we don't believe the Word of God. When He says what He promises, we have a problem. Oh, no, it's for this person. You know, the healing is for this person. That's not for me. Oh, that worked out on that person's life. Doesn't mean it's going to work out on me. God didn't say, my promises are only for so-and-so or in a so-and-so circumstances. He said, blanket promises. It is up to us to believe or not to believe. And so if there is nothing that you take away from this Bible study, I want you to understand this, I want you to remember this, you know, let go. Let go of your past hurt, right? Stop blaming your teachers, stop blaming your parents. If there is some wrong that has been done to you, fine. God is able to restore. In the book of Joel, God says, our God can restore what the locust has eaten. Maybe you got a bad break in your life. Maybe you had a bad childhood. Maybe your marriage didn't start out the way it should have started out. Maybe things didn't work out the way you were hoping for. Maybe you don't have the perfect education. Maybe you don't have the perfect job. Good. Let it go. Lay aside every weight and focus on Jesus. And that's not something that I'm saying, because verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus. In some of the translations, it says, fixing your eyes unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who is our example to do this? Jesus. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. It is, keep your focus on Jesus. Don't look at your past, right? The other place where Paul talks about, right? No one who runs a race is looking back. If you're going to continue looking back at your life and all the wrongs and all the things that went wrong, you are going to be a one miserable person. And don't ruin your today because of your yesterday. And your tomorrow because of your yesterday. Fix your eyes onto Jesus. Yes, and I'm not denying that some people have a very hard life. I'm not denying, that not everyone grows up in a perfect family. Not everyone has everything that they wish they had for. But even if you were dealt a bad card, fix your eyes onto Jesus. Fix your eyes onto Jesus. And, the author and finisher. And the word our is not in the original language that was put there for clarification. It should read, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of what? Faith. That's simple. The word author literally means somebody who is a pioneer, somebody who's the first to do it. Okay, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Who for the joy that was set before him, meaning he understood the end goal. His focus, his focus was on the glory that was going to be on the other side of the cross, on the other side of the resurrection. That what he was going to achieve for us, that's what he was focused on. That's why he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, he is the example of faith. And what the author is trying to tell us over here is, let's look at Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the perfect example of faith. You follow him, and you it's going to tell us, right, in the next verse, it says, for consider him who endures such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Look what Jesus has done, what he has endured, so we can have life and life eternal. And what he's telling that Jewish audience, that yes, there is some persecution, yes, there is some hardship for you, but it is not anything near what Jesus suffered for you. None of them had, there was no bloodshed yet in their life. And so he says, focus on Jesus. And this is what we need to do. We need to lay aside every weight. And sometimes those weights are good things. But there are things that we need to get rid of from our life, focusing on Jesus. You know, when you are running a race, and I'm sure all of you have seen a race, okay? You don't see that runner, if he wants to run fast, right? Even if they're running a marathon, right? They're not looking around, right? As they run, they're not going, hey, that's a nice car, or that's a nice building, or whatever they're looking at. Right? They're not looking at the audience cheering them. Their focus is straight ahead onto the ribbon. They are fixed on Jesus. They're not even looking down at their feet. Because if you look down at their feet, you fall down. They're not looking at other runners. And that's an important lesson for us Christians, right? Because it's not that I'm not to look around and see, hey, look what so-and-so is doing. I think he's a little bit more spiritual than me. Oh, I think that this guy is a little behind me. He's not as knowledgeable as me in the Bible. You know what? He doesn't pray as much as I do. Or I don't pray as much as this person does. We are not to look around. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That is who is your example. He is the one. Because when you look around, you know, if you, some of you might remember this race between Bannister and Landry in Canada, right? Some of you are too young to remember that. But there was a big rivalry between these two people. And Landry was winning the race. He was going to win the race. And he just peeked back to see where Bannister was. And in that moment, Bannister passed him and won the race. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't look around. Don't look around at what other people are doing. Look at Jesus and what he has endured. And so, as we end this Bible study, one of my favorite hymns, I'm going to end with a couple of verses from there. And I hope this message has brought you encouragement in your walk. As the author is speaking to this Jewish audience who is not yet convinced that they should put their full trust in Jesus, he's saying, look, here's a perfect example. And for those of us who have put our faith in him, this old hymn says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim, meaning all the weights, all the things that distract us, all those things that take us away from our God and our purpose, our focus from Jesus. He says, and all those things will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. And that's important, right? That's what we are talking about, faith. Believe him and all will be well. Can you say that? Or is there still a sin of unbelief that ensnares you, entangles you? Believe him and all will be well. Then go to the world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Are your eyes fixed on Jesus? Are you looking around? Is there something that is weighing you down? Let today be the day that you free yourself of that weight, that you come all the way to the perfection, that you put your trust in Jesus. And those of you who are believers, are you running the race? Are you running the race? If you run the race, you know, if any athlete will tell you that if you are going to perform on the day of the race or the day of the game, right, you have to train, right? You cannot just pick up the bat. If you're going to have a big match, a baseball or a cricket match, you cannot just pick up a bat and say, I'm going to go and play. You are training, right? You are in the nets training. You are in the batting cage trying to hit the ball. Right? If you are a basketball player, you are shooting the hoops, right? You are practicing your shot. You are training. So why we as a Christian are exempt from that? We need to be in training, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Right? Another sport metaphor, if I tell you, if you're going to hit the ball, you better keep your eye on the ball. And so as we end this Bible study, are you keeping your eye on the ball? Is your eye fixed on Jesus? Oh, Father, we come to you, Lord, and we just thank you and praise you for this great cloud of witnesses, Lord, who have shown us, Lord, that it is possible for us to walk in faith. It is possible, Lord, that we can endure, that we can be comforted by the scripture, Lord. And so, Lord, help us to fix our eyes on our perfect example, our author and finisher of our faith, the one who has set a standard, Lord, who endured the cross, the suffering, the shame on that cross, Lord. He shed his blood for us that we may have life eternal, Lord. I pray that help us to keep our eyes on Jesus, Lord, and that we may run the race, not to lose. Nobody runs a race to lose, Lord. Help us to live a victorious Christian life. I submit each and every person here into your hand. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.